trauma and depression are not the same wound. Yet for most of modern psychiatry, they were treated with overlapping tools that suited neither especially well. SSRIs, talk therapy, and time helped some people partially and left many stranded. Then two very old, very different molecules re-entered the clinic under a shared banner, assisted therapy, and split the problem cleanly in two. This is not a contest to crown a winner. It is a study in contrast. This article is education, not medical advice. MDMA, synthesized in 1912 and adopted by therapists in the 1970s before its recreational fame as ecstasy, became the flagship candidate for post-traumatic stress disorder. Psilocybin, the compound in mushrooms used ceremonially for centuries, became the leading candidate for treatment-resistant depression and the existential distress of terminal illness. They are frequently mentioned in the same breath, but they are pharmacologically and experientially almost opposites, two molecules that heal along two different fault lines of the mind. If you are in crisis, contact a local emergency line or the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline in the U.S. The core contrast, an empathogen, and a psychedelic. Start with the molecules because everything downstream follows from them. MDMA is, at its core, a monoamine releaser. Its central trick is on the serotonin transporter, SERT, the pump that normally reclaims serotonin from the synapse. MDMA enters the neuron through that transporter and reverses its direction, turning a reuptake pump into an efflux pump so that stored serotonin floods outward rather than being recovered. It does the same to lesser degrees for norepinephrine and dopamine, and it triggers the release of hormones including oxytocin and cortisol, plus downstream signaling molecules such as BDNF. The felt result is the empathogenic state MDMA is named for: warmth, trust, emotional openness, and a striking reduction in fear and defensiveness. That last effect is the therapeutic hinge. Neuroimaging and animal work suggest MDMA dampens activity in the amygdala and insula, the brain's fear and threat salience hubs, while strengthening amygdala-hippocampus communication. The hypothesis is that this opens a temporary window in which a traumatic memory can be recalled without the usual overwhelming fear response, and during that window, either reconsolidated in a less threatening form or extinguished through new learning. Oxytocin is thought to reinforce the pro-social trusting stance that lets a patient stay engaged with a therapist while doing so. Psilocybin arrives from an entirely different direction. Once metabolized to psilocin, it is a 5-HT2A serotonin receptor agonist. It does not flood the synapse with serotonin so much as directly switch on a specific receptor densely expressed on layer 5 cortical pyramidal neurons. That activation increases cortical excitability and, at the whole brain scale, desynchronizes activity. Neuroimaging describes a rise in neural entropy and a loosening of the default mode network, the tightly coupled circuit tied to self-referential rumination. Where MDMA quiets fear so a memory can be approached, psilocybin flattens the brain's habitual grooves so rigid patterns of thought can temporarily give way. The two do share a downstream thread. Both are associated with BDNF-linked neuroplasticity, and both are delivered inside a structured assisted therapy model rather than as a standalone pill. But the convergence should not be oversold. Where they diverge is sharp and consequential. MDMA leaves consciousness largely intact and turns the dial towards safety and connection. Psilocybin alters the structure of consciousness itself, sometimes to the point of ego dissolution. One is about fear, the other is about meaning. The honest caveat, the fear memory reconsolidation story for MDMA and the entropy and plasticity story for psilocybin are compelling, well-supported hypotheses, not settled mechanism. Treat both as strong working models, not gospel. Two disorders, two therapeutic models. Because the molecules do different things, the therapies built around them target different problems. MDMA-assisted therapy is, first and foremost, a PTSD treatment. The model pairs a small number of drug sessions, typically two or three dosing days of roughly 80 to 125 milligrams, spaced weeks apart, with extensive non-drug preparation and integration therapy, usually with two co-therapists present. The drug's role is to make the intolerable tolerable, to let a patient turn toward a traumatic memory in a state of reduced fear and increased trust, long enough to reprocess it. Psilocybin-assisted therapy targets depression and existential distress. The model similarly wraps a full-day supervised session with eye shades, curated music, and trained monitors in preparation and integration. But the psychological mechanism is different. Rather than approaching a specific fear, the patient often undergoes a broad perceptual and emotional shift that can reframe entrenched, self-critical, or hopeless patterns. These are not interchangeable interventions competing for the same patient. They were engineered for different targets, and the which is better question only makes sense once you specify for what. The clinical scoreboard, honestly kept. Here the two diverge most dramatically, not in the strength of their trial data, but in where they stand with regulators as of mid-2026. MDMA has striking efficacy data and a stalled application. The developer, MAPS's public benefit spin-out Lykos Therapeutics, ran two phase 3 trials. MAP1, published in Nature Medicine in 2021, reported a large between-group effect size around 0.91 and found that 67% of the MDMA group no longer met PTSD diagnostic criteria versus 32% on placebo with therapy. MAP2, published in 2023, replicated the signal in a more diverse, more severe population. 71% lost their PTSD diagnosis versus 48% on placebo. On paper, these are among the strongest effect sizes in the history of PTSD pharmacotherapy. And yet, in August 2024, the FDA issued a complete response letter, declining to approve MDMA-assisted therapy and requesting an additional phase 3 trial. When the FDA made the letter public in September 2025, it detailed concerns spanning safety reporting, durability of effect, and, most damaging, functional unblinding, since patients and therapists could nearly always tell who received active MDMA, alongside therapist conduct concerns at trial sites. In the aftermath, the company cut roughly 75% of its staff to concentrate on the requested trial and a resubmission, a multi-year path, not an imminent approval. Psilocybin is the one now at the regulatory doorstep. Compass Pathways Phase 3 program for treatment-resistant depression delivered two consecutive wins. COM5 in June 2025 was the first phase 3 efficacy readout for any classic psychedelic, showing a single 25 milligram dose significantly reduced depression scores versus placebo at week 6. COM6 in February 2026 hit its primary endpoint with high statistical significance comparing 25 milligrams against a 1 milligram control. COM360 holds FDA breakthrough therapy designation, and the company has signaled a new drug application. Osona Institute's phase 2 work and a strong end-of-life distress literature reinforced the depression case. The regulatory landscape then shifted sharply. On April 18, 2026, an executive order directed federal agencies to accelerate access to psychedelic therapies that have completed phase 3 trials, and days later, the FDA commissioner announced priority review vouchers for three programs: Compass's psilocybin, Usona's psilocybin, and Transcend's methylone, an MDMA-adjacent compound, targeting a compressed review timeline. Notably, MDMA's eligibility is contested. The order references substances that have completed phase 3 trials, and legal analysts note it is unsettled whether MDMA qualifies given the FDA's rejection. So, which is near approval for what? Psilocybin for treatment-resistant depression. It has the completed phase 3 wins and the regulatory tailwind. MDMA still has arguably the more dramatic efficacy signal for PTSD, but a rockier road. It must satisfy the FDA's blinding and conduct concerns before it can be reconsidered. The experience and the very different hazards. Subjectively, these are not variations on one theme. MDMA produces warmth, emotional openness, and reduced fear. Consciousness stays intact. The world feels safer and more connected. Psilocybin produces the classic psychedelic journey: perceptual shifts, emotional intensity, and in the deepest sessions, a dissolution of the boundary between self and world. One softens the guard around a memory, the other rearranges the furniture of the mind. Their safety profiles differ in kind, and it does neither justice to file one as safe and the other as dangerous. They are hazardous in different directions. MDMA, acute and physiological risks, As a serotonin releaser and stimulant, it raises heart rate, blood pressure, and body temperature. In uncontrolled settings, it is associated with hyperthermia, dangerous overheating, hyponatremia, life-threateningly low blood sodium driven by excess water intake, and cardiovascular strain. Its most important drug interaction is with other serotonergic agents. Combined with SSRIs or especially MAOIs, MDMA can precipitate serotonin syndrome, which can be fatal. A central reason clinical protocols require tapering serotonergic medications beforehand. The neurotoxicity debate deserves honest framing. Heavy repeated recreational use is linked to reduced serotonin transporter density and cognitive effects, whereas the controlled single-digit number of moderate doses used in therapy appears far less likely to be neurotoxic. The risk is real, but strongly dose and pattern dependent. Psilocybin, psychological risks and vulnerable populations. Psilocybin's sharpest risks are psychological and acute. The signature hazard is the bad trip, overwhelming anxiety, fear, or panic during a session, which in supervised settings is transient and manageable with trained support, but can be genuinely destabilizing without it. The firm contraindications are a personal or family history of psychosis or bipolar disorder, where psychedelics can precipitate prolonged psychotic or manic episodes. Physiologically, it transiently raises blood pressure and heart rate. A more theoretical concern is 5-HT2B receptor agonism, the mechanism behind serotonergic valvular heart disease, a legitimate worry for hypothetical chronic dosing or frequent microdosing, but not established as a risk for occasional supervised sessions. The cleanest summary: MDMA's dangers cluster in acute physiology and drug interactions, and accumulate with recreational overuse. Psilocybin's cluster in the acute psychological experience and in vulnerable populations. Different hazard curves, not a hierarchy. Access and legality in 2026. Both remain Schedule 1 federally, the most restrictive classification. And no federal rescheduling has occurred. Any change hinges on FDA approval of a specific product. Psilocybin has state-level supervised pathways. Oregon operates licensed psilocybin service centers for adults 21 and older under trained facilitators. Colorado licenses healing centers with a clinical grounding. New Mexico became the first state to create a program by legislation rather than ballot, with a strictly medical model targeting initial patients around late 2026. These are supervised pathways, not retail legalization, and they do not change federal law. MDMA has no state pathway at all. It was excluded from Colorado's natural medicine framework, and no state has created a supervised access program for it. Outside of ongoing clinical trials, the only routes are expanded access or compassionate use channels, meaning that, despite its stronger raw efficacy data for PTSD, MDMA is currently harder to access legally than psilocybin. Which one? For whom? Resist the urge to crown a winner. The useful question is fit, and it starts with the disorder. If the target is PTSD, the need to approach and reprocess a traumatic memory without being overwhelmed by fear. MDMA's pharmacology is purpose-built for that job, and its phase 3 efficacy signal is remarkable. The catch is access. It is not approved, and outside trials, it is difficult to obtain legally. If the target is treatment-resistant depression or end-of-life distress, interrupting rigid, hopeless, self-referential patterns rather than a single fear, psilocybin's mechanism fits. Its phase 3 data are in hand, and it is both nearer to approval and more accessible through state pathways today. Comorbidities tilt the choice further. A history of psychosis or bipolar disorder weighs heavily against psilocybin. Cardiovascular disease and any serotonergic medication regimen weigh against MDMA without careful medical oversight. The most honest framing is the one the neuroscience keeps pointing to: an empathogen that quiets fear to heal trauma, and a psychedelic that loosens rigidity to lift depression. Not rivals for a title, but two different keys cut for two different locks. This article is education, not medical advice.